Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The trial of Karen Reed, it is, well, getting deeper and deeper into the weeds. It's kind of how it feels if you've been watching it and paying attention to the testimony of not only the family members that were in the houses that night or in the house that night, but friends, family, it all just keeps getting a little more confusing by the day. And we'll take a look at some of those clips in just a moment. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Robin, another weekend. And what's been your takeaways thus far on all this testimony that we've been seeing, especially from the McCabes and such?
I think you hit it right on the head. Confusing. I have a hard time tracking all the people testifying as well. All I know is it's kind of going the way that we've been hypothesizing. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, it's looking too good for Karen. And yeah, mostly because I still think prosecution, everyone jumped way too fast,
yeah,
you know, to come up with charges, to come up with a theory, to come up with everything. And when you rush, in other words, they had what I've said before, they had an emergency takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
Because every emergency takeoff a pilot takes is guaranteed to have an emergency landing because things are going to go sideways. And I think they had an emergency takeoff on this one when they came up with charges, theories, and everything else. And it's everything's falling apart.
Are they creating any reasonable doubt here on this? They just keep throwing stuff and seeing what sticks is what it really feels like. And you know, that can certainly create some doubts. I mean, I have doubts on every side of this, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. But are they creating a reasonable doubt that Karen did not do this, or are they digging a deeper hole for her with the testimony that we've been seeing and the very aggressive work of the defense attorneys?
Yeah, it's just like you said. I think they're creating reasonable doubt everywhere because what they're doing is they're creating reasonable doubt defenses about the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not saying that she didn't hit him. That's not saying that it wasn't a mistake. You know, all these things that are out there as possibilities of a night of drunken accidents, mm-hmm, basically. So yeah, there's a lot of doubt going on, but I think when it comes down to it, when they get the jury instructions on what they should be assessing when it comes to the charges, to the evidence they've seen and reasonable doubt there, I think there's plenty of reasonable doubt around the charges.
Yeah,
because I just think they're off.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think it's going to end up being either complete, you know, exoneration or acquittal here, or we're going to see lesser charges. And I kind of feel like we're going to end up with like vehicular manslaughter or something at the end of the day.
Yeah. And before we start looking at stuff, just think about the injustice and the trauma the family's still going
through.
You know, and that's everyone always, and we all fall victim to it. You know, we all start losing sight of the fact that what we really need here is an accountability and injustice done for the family that lost their son.
Yeah.
And because they rushed in so fast, they're starting to miss the point there, I think.
I agree. Let's listen to this testimony. This is Jen McCabe defending the narrative of what she testified to and the testimony that she gave of that that very night as she gets grilled on the stand. Let's take a look.
Why was it so important to report back to the group? that you were happy that Carrie Roberts was saying, quote, everything?
Objection.
I'll allow it. We had both lost our friend. Carrie Roberts was in shock, as was I in shock. The two of us had all this information that just kept coming back to us and back to us. And it was, it's terrifying when you go through an experience and you're in shock. And Carrie was remembering things. I was remembering things. So I was happy for her that she was piecing it all together, and I had pieced it all together, because at the end of the day, our friend was dead, and we were trying to figure out what had happened to him together. There was no direction. We were all trying to figure out what had happened, because that's what you do when you lose somebody you love.
Were you happy for her, or were you happy for you and Brian and Matt and Nicole?
For me and for her, because we were going through this together. There was no conversation.
You got the story out that you're trying to get out through Carrie Roberts.
Right? Objection.
I'll allow that. There is no story. There's facts and truth on this side. There's no story. The story that you've created is not the truth.
Did I create? I hit him, or did you?
That's fact.
A fact that conveniently you didn't mention in your report. To Lank, Proctor, grand jury, right? That kind of fact.
Objection.
Rule. Is that right?
That is the fact I mentioned. So in some reports, it's there.
The fact is, you wanted to keep very close tabs on Carrie Roberts, didn't you?
No.
On January 29th, you look on page 2223, did you text the group, quote, Carrie talked to cops and kept it simple, end quote?
Yes.
Okay, it's become a habit for you to keep tabs on Carrie Roberts, isn't it?
Objection.
Sustained.
You'll agree that over and over and over and over again, you're reporting to this tight group, Nicole, Brian Albert, your husband, how Carrie's doing in her stories to the police, aren't you? Over and over and over.
I am telling them what is going on. I wouldn't say it. Well, let's count them. Was there four of them? You're saying over and over and over and over. It's a bit extreme.
I see. So you take issue with the way that I phrase over and over and over.
Well, it's misleading, I believe.
I see. Okay. Well, let me see if I can try this in a non-misleading way, Ms. McCain.
Okay.
So at least one of us, I'll withdraw.
What's your take on that? I mean, I think she's a strong witness. I'm not getting anything that would be nefarious or deceitful in that, but you're the behavioralist. What's your take on that?
The thing that struck me towards the beginning of what she said was two things. She said terrified and piecing it together. Mm-hmm. And when something terrifies you, you go into defensive mode. And so she's defensive and insecure. And so you start circling your wagons around yourself when you feel that way. And piecing it together means she didn't have a clear, fluid memory of what happened. Piecing together meant that you're putting together fragments, mm-hmm. and which then becomes susceptible to what you want to remember, what people are placing in your mind, and that groupthink that starts taking hold. And so it becomes less convincing. Mm-hmm. If you look at it from that optic and lens. So those are the parts of it. But yeah, does she totally believe the things she's saying and that she's conveying? 100%. But that doesn't mean that it's accurate, because she was defensive and she was scared and she's piecing it together.
But does it lend any credibility to the conspiracy end of this?
Boy, I've had a hard time with conspiracy on this one because I think when people are afraid, they don't really consciously say, I'm going to have a conspiracy to do something. But when you have a collective bunch of people that jump rapidly to a conclusion that they want to be the conclusion that Karen Reed backed into him and killed him, so none of us are culpable, and we're all drunk and we don't remember anything exactly, and we start piecing the things together because we're terrified of the results otherwise if it's not Karen Reed. See what I mean? It's not a conscious conspiracy in my mind about how I define conspiracy. Conspiracy to me is, you know, a gang that murders someone. They all get together and say, all right, what's your story?
And that's what they're trying to sell. That's the thing. That is what they're trying to say happened in the house, which
And that's why in this case, I don't like both the defense and the prosecution's counter argument to each other. I don't like the prosecution's charges, and I don't like defense's conspiracy theory. I think I don't like either of them because but again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal beagle. Mm-hmm. I just kind of look at the language of what conspiracy means to me from my context. And I look at, so, because when I think of conspiracy, I think consciousness of action to get around law, to get around problems and situations. I think that because of the state that they were in mentally impaired because of the alcohol they were drinking and whatever else was going on that night, if there was anything else going on that, coupled with fear, coupled with they heard something to the effect of she hit him or did I hit him? I mean, there's a lot of different phraseologies going on there.
Yeah.
When your brain's in fear mode, what are you doing? Uh-huh. You're looking around and latching on. Oh, there it is. And I grab it.
Sure.
And I'm going to morph it into what I needed to do. And why? It's not me. I got to protect me, and not just me. I'm going to protect all my friends. So, because in their mind also, maybe Karen was the outsider. Karen was the one that they didn't like. Karen's this. And so it's easy to make a us versus her. Now, conspiracy, that's for the legal beagles to kind of define, but I think it's a stretch.
Even if you had absolutely nothing to do with this. If that's the case with the folks in the house, he never got in the house. Let's assume that nothing happened. There was no fight. There was no beating him up and throwing him outside in the snow. But there was a dead body on the front lawn. And you're thinking, oh my God, I hope they don't come and look at me and think I had anything to do with this. That in itself, those actions can sometimes come across to others as you're trying to hide something. When you're truly not, you're just simply trying to cover your own bases to make sure that somebody doesn't go down some bizarre road that really is not any road to go down. And you're almost like you're like overprotecting yourself from those possibilities. Is that what we're seeing here, you think?
Yeah, I think so, because now let's look at the optic and lens of that. Why would someone do that? Why would someone be insecure about their behavior? Well, because it wasn't the best, adult behavior. Sure. There wasn't a lot of good adulting going on in that situation. Mm-hmm. You know, these are professional people that had professional jobs. They're supposed to be mature professionals, and they were doing dumb stuff, which could impact them if it got out there. And so they had what I call secret place. Mm-hmm. And secret place, I've done a lot of investigations. When you do espionage investigations on people, you uncover things that are abhorrent human behavior. Because when someone's committing espionage, I guarantee you from my experience, it's not the only thing going sideways in their lives. They're doing a lot of other bad things. And so I call this secret place. And if you gauge someone in secret place where they have shame or they have remorse and they're trying to hide it from the world, then they get very defensive of those areas and they try to keep it segregated from what the rest of the world sees. And now if you have a group of people, a small group that has some secret place because they're doing behaviors that are outside the norm of what's expected of them professionally as adults in this community or whatever it is, they're going to try to keep that sequestered away from everyone else. And they're going to get very defensive over those things. And as soon as there's an opportunity to show it wasn't them, it's over here, that's what they're doing. Now, is it, again, a conscious conspiracy or just the ultimate form of groupthink?
Sure, sure. I mean, the reference I can make to it is I've always been, since I was a kid, I'd always be the one that looked guilty for doing something. And it's like, I was the one who never did anything bad. Like I was a really good, I was never like going and being mean or beating up kids. But I was like always the one like at recess, like who did this? I'd be like, I hope they don't think it was me, because I know it wasn't me, but God, they're going to look at and I always had that.
And here's something to explain it too. So you have, it's called a conscience.
Yes.
and I mean, there's a good friend of mine inside the FBI. When you work inside the FBI and you work, especially in the world of counterintelligence, we have to be polygraphed every 5 years for our clearances. And this one gentleman I worked with, a completely 100% upstanding citizen, patriot, and everything else, he always had a really, really challenging time passing the counterintelligence polygraph exam.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Catholic guilt.
Yeah. I call it Lutheran guilt, because I was brought up Lutheran.
So what would happen to him was they would ask him a question. And remember, the polygraph and basically polygraph physiologically measures all those things you're just describing. I just look guilty. Well, what does guilt look like? It's when there's an incongruence between what we're thinking and what we're feeling emotionally. We look stressed, and the polygraph measures those stressors in our bodies that just emanate from us nonverbally. And so you were emanating those nonverbals because you were stressed by what? The thought, just the thought, not that you did do something wrong, but the thought that I might have done something wrong, because as you said, the Lutheran guilt.
Yep, yep.
And so when you think you're guilty, or you're afraid of being guilty, or in my friend's case, that question is so important, I can't get this question wrong, pop.
Yep.
You look guilty because you're stressing, because stress looks like deception to some people. Stress looks like it's crunching. You go in protect mode when you're in stress.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing here.
That's true. And by the way, Robin talks about that story in even greater detail in his book, Sizing People Up. Get it wherever books are sold.
Shameless plug. Thank you.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.